Welcome to the deep dive. Ever wondered if a company can just bail on a contract when something huge and frankly scary happens globally, like war or, a major terrorist threat?
Yeah, it's a really pertinent question.
Exactly. Today, we're actually jumping right into a fascinating legal fight from the early 90s, right smack in the middle of the Gulf War era. It puts this exact question under the microscope. So get ready, because this deep dive into 7200 Scottsdale Road General Partners v. Kuhn Farm Machinery, Inc. Yeah, it's a mouthful. It has some surprising answers for you.
That's right. And this case, decided by the Arizona Court of Appeals back in 96, is still incredibly relevant. It really helps us understand how the law tries to balance, keeping promises and contracts with these huge, unexpected global events.
Okay, paint the picture for us.
Okay, so imagine the Scottsdale Plaza Resort, all geared up to host a big convention. They're counting on that revenue, right?
Sure, makes sense.
Yeah.
But then Kuhn Farm Machinery pulls the plug, cancels the whole thing. And their reason: the 1991 Gulf War, fears about terrorism, worries about international travel getting completely disrupted.
Wow. So a classic showdown. Resort needs the business, companies citing global crisis.
Exactly. And the court's decision, it gives us some really crucial insights. It's a great shortcut, really, to understanding this tricky area of contract law.
Okay, so for us to really get this, let's dig into the details.
Cool.
What exactly did the Scottsdale Plaza Resort and Kuhn agree to? Like, what were the core promises on paper?
Well, they had this agreement formalized in a letter way back in February 1990. It basically said the resort would host Kuhn's North American Dealer Convention. This was set for late March 1991.
Okay.
And this wasn't just, a small gathering. The resort specifically blocked off 190 guest rooms at a special rate, too.
190 rooms, that's significant.
Oh, yeah. And they also promised banquet facilities, meeting rooms. And importantly, there was a minimum guarantee. The resort expected at least $8,000 just from food and beverages. So you see, the resort had put a lot on the line, expecting a pretty substantial payout.
And for Kuhn, what was their main goal with this convention? Why book all those rooms, plan all these events? What was the big purpose for them?
For Kuhn, the primary objective was, well, to show off their brand new line of farm machinery.
Okay, to their dealers.
To their dealers, yeah, and key sales folks from all over the U.S. and Canada. But here's a really critical detail for you. A big part of their plan involved flying in their staff and suppliers from Europe.
Ah, the international angle.
Exactly. They wanted their European technical experts there to really demonstrate the new machines, provide that deep dive training, this
Yeah.
international piece. It becomes super important in the legal fight later on.
Right, okay. So, scene set. Major convention planned, big money involved, and then bang, the Gulf War breaks out. How did Kuhn use that to justify canceling? What were their specific fears?
Kuhn's reasoning really boiled down to a few key worries, all kind of linked together. First, there was just this general widespread fear of terrorism. Understandable, maybe during the Gulf War.
Sure, that was definitely in the air then.
Definitely. Second, they were really concerned about major disruptions to international flights, especially since they planned to bring over that European team.
Okay, the travel piece again?
Yep. And third, just a general sense of instability, increased risk because of the war. So essentially, they argued these unforeseen events totally wrecked the whole point of having the convention as planned. The risk just felt too high for them.
This is where it gets really juicy for us, legally speaking. How can a company even argue that something like a war or just fear of terrorism lets them off the hook for a contract? What are the legal doctrines they try to use?
Yeah, this case really hinges on two specific and quite important legal ideas: frustration of purpose and impracticability of performance. Let's kind of unpack those so you can see how Kuhn tried to use them.
Okay, frustration of purpose. What's that?
So, frustration of purpose applies when some totally unexpected event happens that basically just destroys the fundamental reason why one party, or maybe even both, signed the contract in the first place. It makes doing their part almost pointless.
Okay.
But the key thing here is both parties need to have understood this main purpose. And the event that causes the frustration, it has to be so major that it's way beyond the normal business risks you kind of accept when you sign on the dotted line.
Okay, that makes sense. So Kuhn was basically saying the whole point of the convention showcasing new products with their European experts was totally shot because of the war and the travel fears.
Precisely. That was their argument. Without the Europeans, the convention just wouldn't achieve its core purpose.
Got it. And the second one, impracticability.
Right. Impracticability of performance. It's related, but a bit different. This doctrine comes up when an unforeseen event makes fulfilling the contract literally impossible, or just so incredibly difficult or dangerous that it's considered, like, commercially off the charts. Impracticable.
So harder than just being inconvenient or more expensive?
Oh, much harder.
Yeah.
It's a really high bar to clear. We're not just talking about it costing more or being a hassle.
And in this case, Kuhn was also saying that the fear of flying, especially for their international folks, made it impracticable, legally speaking, to go ahead.
Exactly. They weren't necessarily saying no one could physically get to Scottsdale. No. Their point was that the perceived risks, especially for their European team flying internationally, had become so huge that holding the convention would be unreasonably dangerous and therefore legally impractical.
Okay, so two pretty interesting legal arguments from Kuhn. What did the Arizona Court of Appeals think about all this? How did they analyze Kuhn's claims? What were their key findings for you, the listener, to grasp?
The court really dug into the specifics of both arguments, and spoiler alert, they rejected both of them.
Okay, tell us why. Let's start with frustration of purpose.
All right. On frustration, the court really zeroed in on the fact that there was just no evidence that the Scottsdale Plaza Resort understood the European attendance to be some kind of absolute deal breaker, like a condition for the whole convention's success that both sides agreed on.
It wasn't explicitly in the contract.
Nope. The written contract didn't mention it as critical. And here's a really crucial point for you. The evidence showed that a lot of Kuhn's own dealers actually registered for the convention after the Gulf War had already started.
Oh, wow. That doesn't look good for Kuhn's argument.
Not at all. It seriously weakened their claim that the war had completely frustrated the event's fundamental purpose. I mean, if people were still signing up during the war, it kind of suggests the convention still had value and purpose for them, right?
Yeah, that's a really strong counterpoint. Okay, so what about the impracticability argument? The claim that travel risks made performance impossible, or close to it?
The court wasn't buying that one either. They drew a really clear line between actual objective impossibility and things like inconvenience, extra difficulty, or even just costing more.
Subjective fear versus objective reality.
Exactly. They acknowledged, sure, people were anxious about flying during the Gulf War, but they pointed out that domestic air travel within the U.S., it was still running pretty much normally.
No major shutdowns?
Right. Kuhn couldn't show any specific government bans or widespread flight cancellations that would have made it objectively impossible for their European staff to travel. The court even contrasted this with, say, wartime shipping cases, where there were documented real dangers to ships.
So a general perceived risk of terrorism wasn't enough?
Not in this specific situation, according to the court. It didn't meet that high legal standard for impracticability. Understandable fear? Yes.
Yeah.
Legally impracticable? No.
So it sounds like the court really hammered home that difference between feeling scared and something being objectively impossible or pointless. That's a key distinction for anyone listening.
Absolutely. The court essentially said, look, Kuhn's anxieties were maybe understandable, but they just didn't rise to the legal level needed to excuse them from the contract. And they also made another important point. Just because the convention might have been less profitable for Kuhn, maybe because fewer people showed up than expected, that's not legal impracticability. A contract becoming less financially attractive usually isn't a valid excuse to break it.
Okay, so after all that careful legal dissection, what was the final verdict? Who won the legal battle, the resort or the machinery company?
In the end, the Arizona Court of Appeals came down firmly on the side of the Scottsdale Plaza Resort. They actually overturned the initial trial court decision.
They reversed it.
Yep. They concluded Kuhn Farm Machinery was liable for breaching the contract. They decided that neither frustration of purpose nor impracticability applied to the facts here. So the case got sent back down to the lower court just to figure out exactly how much money Kuhn owed the resort in damages.
So for everyone listening, what's the really big takeaway message from this whole deep dive? What's the key insight from this Gulf War contract dispute?
The crucial takeaway, I think, is that contracts are fundamentally about dividing up risk between the parties.
Allocating risk.
Yeah, exactly. The court basically said Kuhn, by signing this deal, took on a certain amount of risk related to general world events, broad economic stuff. Unless there's a truly objective, specific threat-making performance, literally impossible. Or the absolute core purpose of the contract, understood by both sides, is completely wiped out by something unforeseen. Well, you're generally stuck with your promise.
So generalized fear isn't enough. Economic worries aren't enough.
Usually not. not sufficient legal grounds to just walk away from your contractual duties.
And this all loops back to some really basic contract law principles, right? You mentioned the restatement earlier. How does this case kind of illustrate those broader legal ideas for us?
Precisely. Mm-hmm. This case is a really clear, practical example of how courts apply Section 265 of the Restatement, second, of contracts. That's the part dealing specifically with frustration of purpose.
Okay.
The key question the court wrestled with was, did the resort and Kuhn both understand the principal purpose of this convention in the same way? And was that purpose substantially frustrated by the Gulf War?
And the answer was no, because the European staff wasn't seen as mutually essential.
Right. Kuhn couldn't prove the resort understood the European attendance was so critical that the whole event fell apart without it. And this really just highlights how important it is to clearly spell out the essential parts of a contract and make sure everyone's on the same page about what those are right from the get-go.
This has been incredibly insightful. It's really fascinating for us to see how these huge global events can crash into the, you know, seemingly dry world of contract law and how courts try to find that balance.
It really does. It underscores that even when the world feels uncertain during major crises, the actual words in the contract and what both parties mutually understood, that's still paramount in the eyes of the law. The legal system really values that certainty, that enforceability of agreements.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, here's a final thought for you, our listener. This case from the 90s. It really brings up this timeless question. How do we, as people and as businesses, balance the potential shockwaves from unforeseen global events against the commitments we make in contracts?
Mm-hmm. Think about how that balance might play out today. You know, in our super interconnected world, with all sorts of new crises popping up, it's definitely something worth mulling over in business and even just in personal agreements. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.